Today's daf was Yom Daf Samach Zayin. The Mishnah on the bottom Daf Samach Vav and Beis would tell us how they would accompany the fellow who was bringing the Seir LaZazel out, and there were 10 huts along the way that between the Beis Hamikdash and where he had to go, and it was a total distance of Tishim Ris. Now, 7.5 Ris make up one meal, so it turns out that he had to walk. He had to walk 12 meal, and he had 11 stops along the way, 11 travelings, 11 stop, 11 points of travel along the way. So each time he went one meal, which is Alpayim Amah, except for the last time he went twice that. He went two meal, which was 4,000 Amah. So they would have people stationed in each of these little huts to accompany him from their hut to the next hut, so that that was within their tchum, and the last guy would only accompany him half the way, and he would go the rest of the way. And there was a special hatter that he was allowed to, after he finished pushing the goat off of the cliff, he was allowed to come back to that last hut because it was dangerous to stay outside alone. So he would come back beyond what a person who leaves his tchum is normally allowed to come back, even for a dvar mitzvah. He would come all the way back to that last hut. Now they would offer him food in each of the huts, and the Gemara says that he never actually needed to eat the food, and the only reason they offered it is Eino Dama Mishesh L'Pas B'Salo Mishen L'Pas B'Salo. Having the offer on the table makes it a little easier for a person to fast the rest of the day, knowing that if he really, really needed to, he would be able to eat if he had to. The Gemara then tells us about the tying of the Lashon Shel Zahoris. They would tie the red string around the horns of the animal, half of it around the horns of the animal, half of it on a rock right next to the cliff. So the Gemara says, well, why don't we tie it all on the horns of the animal? And Gemara says, well, maybe the animal is going to fall in such a way we're not going to be able to see it anymore. Why don't we tie it all on the rock? Because if you tie it all on the rock, you can be so distracted by the rock that you can forget to throw the animal off of the cliff. So the Gemara said that historically, it wasn't always tied on a rock next to where they threw the animal off of the cliff. It used to be that they would tie it al Pesach Ha'ulam Nibachutz, where everybody could see it. But if it turned white, everyone would be happy because they knew they had Kaparas Avonos. But if it didn't turn white, everyone would be sad and everyone would be embarrassed. So they decided we'll put it in a little bit of a more private area. Pesach Ulami Bifnim. Still people would peek in and they would be able to tell if it turned white or didn't, and you had the same problem. So that's when they made this takana to put it all the way out there by the cliff where only this fellow is going to be able to see it. The Gemara then has a machlokas between Rav and Shmuel, although we don't know who says which opinion, whether the dismembered limbs of the Seir Mishaleach are mutar b'hana or asur b'hana. And the Gemara goes through the svara for each side. And at the end of the day, the Gemara says, Mistavra command yamar mutar. And it makes most sense to assume that they're mutar b'hana, because lo and matar shaleach l'takala. The Torah wouldn't tell you to throw something off a cliff and then have someone find it later and take it home. It's going to be a takala, that a person is going to take something that's asur b'hana. So it's got to be that it's really mutar b'hana. Then the Braisa talks about what the word Azazel means. Where does that, what's the etymology? Where does it come from? So Gemara says it relates either to the hardness of the mountain or the steepness of the cliff that they would throw the animal from, or maybe it relates to Uzza va'Azael, that it's a mechaper on the mice of Uzza va'Azael. Uzza va'Azael were two malachim that were machshel people in Gilei Arayos. So it's mechaper even for Gilei Arayos. And then the last little bit before the Mishnah on the bottom of Samach Zayin and Beis quotes three different opinions at which point the person is metame begadim. The Mishaleach is metame begadim. Do we assume that he's metame begadim as soon as he leaves the Azara? That is, he becomes tameh and his begadim become tameh? Or is it, no, it's only when he leaves the Chomas Yerushalayim? Or a third opinion is that it's only when he's higiel letzok, only when he actually gets to the cliff, only at that point he's metame begadim. So Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up with the Mishnah on the bottom of the Samach Zayin and the base.